Hi, my name is Tarek Finn, and welcome to the Tread Movements podcast. Or should I have said the other way around? Hi, welcome to the Tread Movements podcast. My name is Tarek Finn. Whichever one I want you to remember, I think that's what I'm supposed to say last. I worked at a call center once. Well, no, I've worked at two call centers. But the second call center that I worked at, we were doing, it was about student loans, and they taught us that you're supposed to say your name last. So, for example, instead of saying, "Hello, Tread Movements, Tarek speaking," the trainer in that class, his dry joke was, "Really? Your name is Tarek speaking?" None of us laughed, of course, but what their point was that we should say our names last. So, hello, thank you for calling Tread Movements. This is Tarek. How may I help you? So, I don't know. I'm not sure which one works better. I don't think people will necessarily listen to the name anyways, unless they're angry and they have a reason for recording the name off the bat, which happens a lot when you're in customer service. You have a lot of angry customers because people do not call customer service to say how amazing your service was. Like, yeah, I got my student loan yesterday, and everything was on time. The clerk was extremely helpful, and I just wanted to commend you guys on a great job. Click. Oh, you guys do a great job. Thank you. Thank you very much. If that was customer service, maybe customer service wouldn't be so bad, but customer service is about, it's the last ditch effort. Everything's going wrong, you call customer service, and you want answers, you want to yell at somebody, so that's what I did. I took the yelling, I got the phone slammed in my ears, etc., etc. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. Today, the topic is confirmation bias. This is based off in an article written by Chad Grant, my partner, on this blog here. So, if I stumble through it a little bit, it may be because our thought patterns and writing styles are different. But I did go over it a bit, so let's see how it goes. It'll be great. Now, confirmation bias. Confirmation bias, to define it based on my own definition, would be it's a mechanism in your head that prevents cognitive dissonance. So there's lots of things that we do, lots of sort of thought defense mechanisms that we have in our mind that prevent us from being upset by thoughts or information that go against what we believe. And confirmation bias, this is just one of those mechanisms. There's another article on anchors I'm going to go over in the future. But first of all, confirmation bias is basically what you're doing in your mind is you are seeking out information that confirms what you already believe, and you try to avoid or discount information that goes against what you believe. Now, this is very important when it comes to anybody who's involved in trading, because there's a lot of information that you're going to receive as a trader, and sometimes that information might go against what you would like to believe is happening, or what you think is actually happening. And it's important that you don't have a confirmation bias. Like, it's important that you can also process information that goes against what you believe. Otherwise, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. Now, there was a study done by Charles G. Lord and Mark R. Reaper in the 1970s. The study was called Biased Assimilation and Attitude Polarization. And in this study, what they did is they brought in two groups of people, ones that were for capital punishment and ones that were opposed to capital punishment, and they gave each of these groups two fictitious studies, one for capital punishment and one against capital punishment. So after the two groups read the studies, the group that was for capital punishment sided with the study that was for capital punishment. So each of these groups, each of these people are receiving both sides. And so the group that was for capital punishment, they sided with the article that was for capital punishment. They agreed with the information that was in that. And the groups that were against capital punishment, they sided with the article that was against the capital punishment. So they, classic confirmation bias, they used the information that bolstered their own opinion to basically make their view stronger while trying to ignore or discounting information of the opposing articles. So that is, like I said, classic confirmation bias. Now, there's a more recent study done by Vladis Krebs, and in his study that was published on orgnet.com, he analyzed purchasing trends, Amazon purchasing trends, found that people who supported Barack Obama during 2008 campaign bought books that put him in a positive light, and people that disliked him bought books that put him in a negative light. Once again, classic. Now, this like I said, confirmation bias is just one cognitive bias. And, oh shoot, it's starting to rain. All right, it's starting to rain. But I don't think I have that much longer here anyways. So the two, like I said, the two mechanisms of confirmation biases are to search for information in a way that confirms one's preconceptions. This is very easy to do with Google, is to type in a search term that goes with what you think. Like, for example, let's say evolutionists are correct, or creationists are correct. Each of those would confirm only one side of a possible argument. And it's very easy to blanket yourself in information that only covers what you want to see. So search for information that confirms one, preconceptions. And number two, avoid any interpretations or information which contradicts one's opinions and preconceptions. Now, during the Great Recession of 2008, Chad writes that I knew someone that had this kind of vision narrowed by confirmation bias. They were in a certain position and decided that all the negative reports that were coming out during 2008 were great for that position. I remember mentioning this to this person, and that it did not matter if he built a time machine and went to the future and saw the close for that position, because the volatility would get him. Sure enough, volatility got him. He was using the information and the signals that he was getting and twisting it to fit his narrative, even though all the information he was getting was signaling him to let go of the position, he overrode his system. This is something that is fairly common in trading, which is overriding your system based on, so you, when I say a system is predetermined, a predetermined in and out of a trade. So based on some belief or some mathematics that you've done. So if you have a system which says that this means we're in a recession, this means that things are going well or not so well, those are things that you should follow, or you should make those rules basically in a time when your mind is together. And during times of chaos or panic or upheaval, like during a sudden recession, then then you should be able to stick to that. Now, if you're surrounded by information that confirms the idea that you're doing okay and you really want these positions to work out for you, you are going to seek out information that will tell you that these positions are okay. I have a personal example. I bought a mutual fund. When did I get it? I think I got into this mutual fund in maybe late 2007, early 2008. I think it was 2007. No. Sorry. I got into this mutual fund around in 2005. And so this mutual fund, it was going up. It was going up. And 2008, there was that crash. I was in the red on that buy because I actually borrowed money to make that purchase. And all the information that I saw as far as the market went showed me that it was time to get rid of it. But novices that I knew around me, family, friends, etc., they had the idea that no. When you buy something, you hold it and it will bring you money. Because up until that point, because people have short memories, let's say for the past few years before 2008, the buy and hold method was working and people were convinced that this was the way that things should be done. So you buy, hold, prosper. And the information that was coming out in 2008 was telling me otherwise, but my bias toward the now traditional view that when you buy a position, you hold it and you make money from it, that caused me to hold on to this position a lot longer than I now would. So that confirmation bias, it taught me a bit of a lesson, and I paid for it in dollars. Another example of a confirmation bias would be this whole thing, global warming. Global warming or climate change, it's a subject that I find pretty interesting, and I've seen and read a few things on global warming, but I did come across a few years ago a documentary called The Great Global Warming Swindle, which was against the idea that global warming was caused by human beings. And the idea was that climate change is part of what happens in the world anyways. The temperature is always changing. We might have an effect, but it's a minimal effect. Now, I tried to show this to one of my friends, and he could not watch the documentary at all, because he said he cannot watch it because it goes against his feelings. That is a perfect example of confirmation bias, where you do not even want to humor or get into any sort of information that goes against your idea of what is true. Now, there are some ways of overcoming confirmation bias in yourself, because it is a bit of a weakness. So there's a thing that we have called principles and beliefs. The idea that a man should have a code. You should have some idea of what is right and what is wrong. And I'm not necessarily talking about what you believe is right and what is wrong. But confirmation bias is something that will impair your view, or could impair your view, in a lot of situations where, I mean, we're in a time where there's a lot of new information coming in. I've seen a lot of studies coming out. The idea that now that animal fat is not bad for you, not as bad as say sugar or gluten, and that's new information. So if I had a confirmation bias that said that no, I know that cholesterol and fat are bad, if my confirmation bias was only one way, then I would not be able to humor the idea that perhaps the old ideas of what we believed was wrong, or possibly wrong. So I don't know. Confirmation bias is not good for being able to process new information, because new information a lot of times is going to go against things that we've already learned. Now, what are some ways to overcome confirmation bias? Well, you could spend time with people who do not share the same viewpoint with you. And Chad says he occasionally spends time talking about a market, about the markets, with a friend who's a value investor. And Chad is strictly a trend follower who only does technical trading for the most part. Or another way, and this is specific to a trader, is keep track of all decisions that you make about trading or investing. And for example, Chad says he kept a trading journal, and I did the same as well. For the first maybe over a year, I would write down the trades that I made. So I would write down the in, the out, the reason for entering, the reason for exiting, the price in, price out, amount lost, etc. And that would basically give me show accountability for what was taking place with my trading account. So if my trading account was down, but I was sticking to a system, then it was kind of okay. It didn't necessarily feel totally okay, but it was okay because I was sticking to something that I had planned. If I overruled my own system, then I would have to account for it, because I would see it in writing that at this point I overruled my system. And if at any point that turned out to have a negative impact on me, then I could clearly see, here's where you messed up. This is your fault. So writing things down or keeping records of trading activity is one good way of getting accountability and exposing any biases that you have. Early sells, early buys, things like that. Another way is to, and this is old, maybe your parents said this, is to try to see things from a different viewpoint. Walk in another man's moccasins. Now, Chad says when he places an order for a sell, he is trying to think on the other side. Like, so he's imagining what the person on the buy side of that trade would be. So here, those are just a few things. Awareness of confirmation bias is important. Be aware that our minds would like to protect themselves from discomfort. And discomfort comes from opposing information. So allow yourself to feel uncomfortable at times and let yourself know, tell yourself that opposing information is sometimes right. We don't have all the answers, and don't be so convinced that what you're thinking or the way that you think is right. Thank you, thank you. That's it for today. Thank you for listening to Trend Movements. Any questions, comments, you can send to info@trendmovements.com. I'm Tarek Finn. Thank you once again.